How many know the word? The Bible says, let the weak say what? Bible doesn't say let the weak say they're weak. The Bible says let the weak say they're strong. Amen. See, God speaks the things that are not as though they were. God doesn't look at the darkness and say, oh my goodness, it's dark in here. He doesn't do that. See, and we need to act like God. Amen. See, the world doesn't have God. The world doesn't have God. So without God, they are relegated to figuring everything out by themselves. But we're not like that. We have God. And so with God, all things are possible. So we start to come into the supernatural realm, not the natural realm, and we can function in the natural realm just like everybody else does. But I don't want to just function in the natural realm. I want to get into the supernatural helping of God. How many need some help? Raise your hand if you need some help. Hey, if your hand's not up, you're lying. Amen. No, really, because we all need help. We all need help. I need help. But it's good to know that I can go to God, who's my supernatural helper. Amen. I'm not in this thing alone. God hasn't left me like an orphan, the Bible says. So what am I saying? I'm saying, you know what? And I'm not denying, you know what, that I have a cough. I'm just denying its ability to stay inside my body. Amen. No, it has no right. See, the Bible tells us we've got to take authority on this earth. That's what the Bible says. How am I going to believe the Bible? We have to take authority. Amen. That's what Jesus did. How many know the Bible says we ought to act like Jesus? It says like this. It says we ought to be imitators of God. Well, who do you think you are, God? No, I'm just his son. Amen. And the Bible says that the same Spirit, oh my goodness, I'm preaching good already. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside me. See, Jesus said it's good that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who's the helper. Why? Listen, I'm not helpless. I'm full of God. See, when you start teaching the Word of God, people start freaking out because it sounds so crazy. How many know if you looked at God, if you looked at Jesus, how many know Jesus is God? Yes. And Jesus said, you know what, if you see me, you see the Father. You want to see how God acts? God acts like Jesus, because Jesus is God. And Jesus acted crazy in that he wasn't relegated to the natural. Amen. And so Jesus would see sick people and he'd get them healed. Amen. And then right before he left, how many believe the word of God? And then right before he left, he said this. He said that these signs and wonders will follow, listen what he says, those who believe. Amen. Well, I don't know why no good things ever happen to me. As you have believed, so be it unto you, Jesus said. See, I love the blind guy who, when they told him to shut up, he wouldn't shut up. Amen. See, I'm doing a little dance. You think that was on accident? That wasn't on purpose. I mean, that was on purpose. I was just seeing if you were paying attention. Amen. And you are, so you get a star today. But I like that guy who he's told to be quiet. He won't be quiet. Amen. And here's why. He couldn't see, but he could hear. And he heard some commotion going on. And he asked, who's going by? What's going on? Oh, that's Jesus. And he started to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they told him to shut up. And then the Bible says he cried even louder. Son of David. See, louder. Everybody say louder. Louder. See, we don't need to be shy in asking God for help. God will help us. But I love Jesus sets this guy up, and he sets us up. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Notice how much, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying, notice how much word I'm quoting here. See, I'm telling you the word. And Jesus says, when he asked him, he says, what do you want? In another place in the Bible, the apostles were talking about what they wanted, and Jesus doesn't chastise them for asking them what they want. He asked them the same thing that he asked this guy. What do you want me to do for you? Let's connect the dots. Jesus said, I don't come to be served. I come to serve. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What do you want me to do for you? And I love this because it shows the character of God. When you see Jesus doing something, you're looking at God doing something because Jesus is God. But then I also love the response of the blind man. See, stop coming up with plan B based on you thinking that God can't do what is. See, please understand this. The Bible says, set your minds on the things above where Jesus is, Colossians says. See, we got to get our minds up in the clouds. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. See, we're thinking too carnal. We think to our own ability. And God tells us, as instructing us, to get our head up where Jesus is. Where there's supernatural ability, where we get outside of this, I can't, it'll probably never happen, it's too difficult. You know what? That's what they've always said about me. That's always what they, oh, hey. Silencio, por favor. Amen? Silencio, por favor. No. Be quiet to all that. Allow God to cause you to dream. Allow God to cause you to think, you know what, with God all things are possible. And that's what this guy does. And he doesn't, even though the medical profession, even though all his relatives, even though all his friends, even though everybody around him, they're telling him to shut up. They certainly would tell him to shut up if he starts saying, yeah, here's what I want. I want to see today. God doesn't tell him to shut up. Amen. Why? Because with God, all things are possible. Amen. So he says to him, you know what? And immediately he gets healed. Praise the Lord. I know who I'm speaking to, but I'm speaking to somebody and saying, hey, stop thinking, you know what, the woman with the issue of blood, I had this for so long. You know, the woman with the issue of blood had the same problem that, or could have had the same problem that the man at the pool of Bethesda had. What did he have problem? Man, I've been here for 28 years. Some of you are thinking that because you had this situation for 12 months, for 12 years, for 2 years, for 8 years. You know what? Some of you grew up in situations that were atrocious, and you've allowed that to follow you all the time of your life. And Satan, and I'm going to get into it in a minute, who's the accuser of the brethren, and tell you, you're never going to get out. That's always how it's going to be. That's just who you are. You know what? And you know, like these doctors, they want to come up to you. They want to say, hey, well, tell me about your parents. Tell me about your grandparents. Tell me about how sick your parents are. Tell me about their disease. Tell me about your grandparents. You know what? They have you fill out all this stuff. You know what? You ought to grab that piece of paper. You know what? And just crumple it all up and say, here you go, doctor. There you go, buddy. You know what? Amen. Can somebody say amen to this? No, I'm not moved by what my parents did. I'm not moved by what my grandparents, just because my grandpa died of, the kafari and the hickalong, so what? What's a kafari and the hickalong? The kafari and the hickalong is the same junk that you don't even know what they're saying. The doctors don't even talk English. They tell you, and you're like, oh, my goodness. And listen how crazy this is. Because you're going to tell them about your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents' problem, and then they're going to, you know what it is? It's a stronghold. A stronghold is this thought that over a period of time, and you know what? And everybody was at the funeral, and you know what? And you thought, ooh, I hope I don't get the whatever I just said. I don't even know what I just said. I hope I don't get the kafari and the hickalong, you know what I mean? I hope I don't get that. You don't even know what that is, amen? Hallelujah. I'm glad you came today already. So all I'm saying, let the weak say they're strong, amen? Oh, you got a cough. You got a cough. Ooh, Pastor, you got a cough. Ooh, you got a cough. Ooh, how long do you have to cough? Ooh. Silencio, por favor. Amen. Amen. Let the weak say they're strong. See, this is a different way of thinking. You know what? Jesus doesn't see. You know what? When the guy says, hey, come and lay your hands on my daughter that she might, be healed. Jesus doesn't say, oh, I probably can't do that. And then even when the guy comes and says, you know what, she don't bother the master anymore. She's dead now. He tells all those people, hey, guys, you ain't even coming with me. All the people who tell you know what, you're ugly, you're too fat, you're too Hispanic, you're too white, you're too black, your hair's too long, your hair's too short, your hair's too curly, your hair's not curly enough. Yeah, exactly. You don't got hair. You're losing your hair. Shut up, amen. You don't know that. Don't do with nothing of that. You know what? That's crazy. Hey, here's my whole point. You said all that to say just that? Yeah, I did. Listen, let God be true and every man a liar. See, that's what the Bible says. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking, but you know what? But God is true. See, we live a world where everything's relative. You know what? There's no truth anymore. You know what I mean? Everything's relative. Well, how do you feel today? I don't know. I feel kind of sunglassy. Ooh, well, maybe you're sunglasses today. You know, walk out. What are you today? I'm sunglasses today. What in the world? See, everything's relative. How do you feel? No, not everything's relative. You know what? I could have a algebraic equation. You know what? And have all this x over 2. You know what? By the fifth quadrant of the left vertical. You know what I mean? You said, Pastor, where in the world did you learn your algebra? You know what? Well, a Pioneer High School. Amen. That's how it's on. I'm proud to be a Titan. Amen. Proud to be a Titan. But here's what I'm saying. If I came up with you know what, 2 equals x over y, yeah. If I came up with that was the answer to the equation, and if that was true, you could look at it and go, I don't believe that. Just because you don't know the truth doesn't make it not true. And so the author of Romans is saying, you've got to make is a choice of your will. You've got to make a decision that God is going to be true, because there's all kinds, your aunts, your uncles, your nephew, your cousin, your you know what, Aunt Lorena and Aunt Sophia, they're all saying all kinds of stuff. And what happens is it's noise in your ear, and it starts to invade who you think about yourself. I've got a simple message today, and here's my message is, today. But I'm telling you, this is deep. If you catch it, you are awesome. You are let me tell you, you are absolutely awesome. If you're taking notes, and I hope you're taking notes. Oh, thank you, Peter, for reminding me. I got so excited about preaching the word, I forgot. If you have your Bibles, put it over your head. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible word of God. Having received the word of God, I will. If you're taking notes, I hope you're taking notes. If you're not taking notes, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Okay, so here's the deal. The sermon title is You Are Awesome. Everybody say you are awesome. Okay. You guys missed it. It's not blessed. I am blessed. It's my pastor's healed and shh, and it's all together. Ready, go. Amen. So here's the deal. You are awesome. That's the sermon title. Let's go to my first point. My first point is this. Are you ready? My first point is you are awesome. Well, that sounds a lot like the sermon title. Wait till you hear the second point. Amen. Here's what I want to let you. You're awesome. But here's what I want you to catch. You're awesome. God made you. So here's what God does. He says, in the beginning, what does it say? No. In the beginning, God made heavens and the earth. Okay. But in the beginning, there was God. Before there was anything, there was God. And God said, let there be light. Guys, follow me in the back with the pictures. God said, let there be light. When God said, let there be light, let me tell you what, there was light. And after he got done with the light, he said, here's what he said. He said, it is good. Everybody say, it is good. Okay, guys, follow me with the pictures. And then at some point in time, God separates the landmass. And he makes the seas. And after he gets done with all this separation, here's what he says. Guys, I'm looking for the island. Okay. And after he gets done with all this, he says, you know what he says? He says, it is good. And then at some point in time, he makes the birds. And he makes the fish. And he makes all these creatures. And when he gets done, here's what he says. He says, it is good. And then at some point in time, he does more separating. He sets the night from the day, and he makes the stars, and he puts these stars up in the sky. I know this isn't what you see in Los Angeles, but but it's there, amen? I said it's there. And he gets done with all that, and here's what he says. What does he say when he's done with all this? Here's what he says. He says, it is good. But on the sixth day, everybody say sixth day. But on the sixth day, he makes man. And it's interesting because, guys, go to the verse. It's chapter 1, verse 26. And in chapter 1, verse 26 of Genesis, we have it up here on the screen. He says, when God said, let us make man. But notice what he says. He says it like this. He says, let us make man. But now he's going to make a change from everything else he made. To none of the things that he made, he ever said this until he comes to the sixth day. On the sixth day, he says this, let us make man. But here's what he says, in our own image. And then he says this, according to our likeness. See, let me tell you what, that's different. When several years ago, when Shayla was first born, and she was, you know what, whatever she was, one and a half, and I'd take her outside and would look up, you know what, and would see the three stars that we could see, but would see the moon. And I would point to the moon, and I would teach her, I would teach her, you know what, Shayla, God made that. See, let me tell you what. It's we live in a world that wants to say that all creation was made just by accident. And let me tell you what, we have all these philosophers and they and we've come up with Darwinism that is able to take, you know what, God out of Darwinism, and I'll teach on it in upcoming weeks how crazy Darwinism is. And crazy in that it's completely illogical. It's completely unscientific. And before you say anything, just understand mathematically it's absolutely unscientific. They can't get two cells to just automatically just double themselves. And yet they're going to tell your kids in junior high and high school and in college at the public school system that no, this happened billions of times. That without any reason, this tadpole all of a sudden just grew some frog legs and jumped out of the pond. But they can't show it to you, not even one time. You know what that's called? It's called unscientific. It's not called scientific, it's called unscientific. I mean, get on the internet, start studying this stuff out. There are so many rules of physics that Darwinism absolutely violates. And when the Darwinism violates the rules of physics that they know, you know what they say? They go, "Well, we're not sure." And what your kids that you're sending to these universities do, your kids just look there and go, And we need to start teaching the truth, amen? Let God be true. And I remember when Shayla was just little, I wanted her to understand, no, that moon wasn't up there just by accident. God put that moon in there, up there. God did that. And then I taught her this, and then I would ask her this question. I would say, "And who did God make that moon for?" Now that is a good question to ask a two-year-old. Why is that such a good question to ask a two-year-old? Here's why. Because we have allowed our society to tell us that we are the problem in the creation. Man is the problem. We are causing the problem with, you know what, we have to, you know what, we have to control the population. And man is the problem. Let me tell you what, man is not the problem. Man is the blessing. Man is the prize. Man is the of all the creation, God on the 26th verse says, "Whoa, now we are making man, and man is different." And the professors would say, no, you're just an animal, just like, you know, everyone else. And these people who, if you study it out, these Darwinists believe that you're no different than your washing machine, except you're just more complex. Ask them to study it out. They're spoken of the elite of the elite. The smartest of the smart says that we're just animals and we just behave animalistic. Animalistic? Whatever. You know what? And so we take our philosophy from Kansas. From Kansas? No. From the rock group Kansas. You know what I mean? And all we are dust in the wind. Right? That's all we are. We just, you know what? No. You know what? I'm teaching Shayla when she was just little. No, you're not. Listen, understand this. You are the prize. You were created different than everything else. See, here's what I'm saying. The Bible says in Psalms, get it up there, guys, that you are fearfully and wondrously made. Now, we understand that, right? See, understand, you're awesome because the Creator created you awesome. Because He's awesome. You were created by someone who's perfect. What do you think He made? And we get to the point where, well, yeah, but Yeah, but I think my nose is too big. Yeah, but I think my eyebrows are too bushy. They're not bushy enough. You know what? My ears stick out too much. I wish my hair was like this. And we want to be somebody else. You know what? You know why hairdressers stay in business? Because people with long hair want short hair. People want curly hair. You know, people with straight hair want curly hair. People with curly hair, when they want their hair straight, right? Right? People with no hair want hair. Amen? Hair. Right. See, every... right? You know, and here's what I'm saying to you. You know, it is what it is. You are what you are. But God made you like you are. And he likes who you are. He likes who you are. Remember when I was little and there were so many, you know what? I remember watching, I don't know if you remember this movie, but I remember watching a Brian Piccolo story. Remember this story? And Gail Sayers was just the coolest black dude. You know what I mean? He's just a cool black guy. I just liked his swagger. I liked his quietness. I remember when I was little thinking, man, I just talk too much. You know what I mean? I need to be more quiet. You know what I mean? I wish I was black. Pasha, that's just what I thought. I thought, man, that's who I want to be. I like what Tony says about me. He says, you know what? He says, I'm a white guy, but I dress like I'm black, and I have a Hispanic heart. Well, I don't know about all that, but here's what I know. Here's what I know. I know that God made me, and he likes me. And he didn't make me, and he didn't say that I wasn't tall enough. He didn't say that I wasn't skinny enough. He didn't say that I wasn't smart enough. Yet he made me, and he liked how he made me. Can I tell you what? You're awesome. You know, when the Bible says you were fearfully made, it's not like, you know what, he made you, and he went like, woo. No, that's not what it means. You know what it means? It means that you were fearfully made. It means this: the circumstance exists of shudder and amazement. That's what it's saying. In other words, when God created you, if you were around in that circumstance, you would have said, have you ever thought about this? How can you walk? How do you walk? So you don't even think about it. You know, what do you mean how to walk? Walk, you don't know. No. How do you walk? How do you walk? How in the world are you able to walk on this earth with it spinning as fast as it spins? How do you do that? Gravity. Okay, gravity. Gravity sticks you down here, so you're stuck. But how come you're not like... How come you... Can I tell how you're not come... Because God has made you incredibly detailed. So in your body, your joints and your muscles are constantly telling your brain where you're at. Your eyes are making thousands of adjustments all the time to step up and step over and step here and come around all the time. So your joints and your muscles are constantly speaking to your brain. Your eyes are constantly speaking to your brain. This is happening in milliseconds, thousands of times, hundreds of thousands of times per second. And your ear has three half circles that are connected to the earlobe or the eardrum, which causes you to hear. But your ear does way more than hear. So when you, and there, if you look at the diagram, I should have showed it to you, but if you look at the diagram, there are three, and there are three of these half circles in these different positions. And they're different positions in that when you put your head down, in that one circle, it has this liquid kind of in it, and in that liquid, inside that tube are all these fine hairs. So when you put your head down in that one tube, half circular tube, all those all that liquid goes back in part of that tube, that you can go like this and not just go fall on your face. When you go like that, it equals out. When you go like that, it goes the other way. Watch this. When you go like this to the side, another one of those half, there's three of them, another one of those half circles goes like this. And then when you go like this, it goes like that. All that fluid goes like this. Where's the other way? Oh, and then when you go like this, it's the third one does that other one. And when you go like that, it goes like this. Are you catching this? And this is one small little part of hundreds and thousands of different systems that you don't even think about. And God says, listen to how I made you. I made you like this. Whoa! Whoa! See, it's not like, whoa, I'm scared. It's like this marvelous thing that God goes, check this out. And if you were there, you'd go, whoa. So how come, I'm just asking, so how come you don't say whoa? How come when you brush your teeth, you're not like, huh? Can I tell you why? Because your dorky teacher in junior high. I'm telling you what. Because of that crazy kid in elementary school. You know what I mean? Here's why. Because your crazy mama. Man, how many had a crazy mama? I had a crazy mama. My mama was so crazy. You know what? That she went to Sears. Come on. Help me preach this. She went to Sears and she bought me these pants. Amen. I'm just telling you what. I grew up poor. Amen. We didn't know we were poor, but we were poor. Amen. We weren't even poor. We were just poor. We couldn't even afford the extra R at the end. But we were poor. But I didn't know we were poor. But I should have known we were poor, because my mom goes to Sears and buys me these stupid jeans. Amen. Can you go to Miller's Outpost and give me some regular jeans? No, we got to go to Sears. Why? Because she gets me these stupid tough skins. What are tough skins? If you're young, look it up on Google. It's so funny. But tough skins are these jeans. And they're like, I don't know what they're like. They're like burlap, amen. You kind of gotta like we had these bunk beds. You kind of had to jump into them because they had. I am exaggerating a little bit, but very little. But that wasn't good enough. These dorky people put these big patches in the knees. How many had a crazy mama? I had a crazy mama. Here you go. Drew, put these on. What are you doing? I'm going to second grade, Mom. You know, and listen, and nobody's going to laugh at me. You know, no, they're not going to laugh at me. See, what's going on here? Cruelty, that's what's going on. Absolute cruelty. Absolutely cruelty. You know what? My mom used to come home. She'd be all excited. She'd be like, ooh, I got you these clothes. They're on sale. One time I got bold, because I was like, oh, don't say that, but I just... from the heart the mouth speaks. I said, "Hey, Mom, could you? I'll save you a lot of money. Just don't buy my clothes no more. I'll save you all kind of money." Because she, you know, here, wear this. And it was like, oh, my goodness. I'm still dealing with the tough skin jokes. You know what I mean? Here's my point. And I laugh at that. And it is funny. But how many know, when you're in the second grade, it ain't funny. It is not funny. And kids can say cruel things. You know what? And teachers can say cruel things. And sometimes, and you look, we've all made mistakes. So don't beat yourself up. You know, parents, But parents say stupid things. And they create this imagery. It's interesting. Here's my second point. Guys, go to my second point. Here it is. Ready? Second point is this. You are awesome. Amen. That's my second point. You're awesome. But here's what I want you to understand. Because here's what Satan. Satan won't tell you you're awesome. The Bible says, as man perceives in his heart, so he is. And there's these perceptions that you have. It doesn't say there's these perceptions. You know what your heart is? Your heart is who you really, is the center of who you are. And you start to making these identifications of who you are. And it's based on these dingleberries who are going to tell you who you are. Here, I'm here to tell you that. Let me tell you about you. You are awesome. And Satan would come, and he would try to. Here's what Jesus reveals in John 10:10. John, guys, flow with me in the back. Here's what God reveals in John 10:10. He says, you know what? Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, let me go over this very quickly. He doesn't say Satan has come to. He says Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Guys, get that up there, John 10:10. He doesn't say that God has come to destroy, kill, and steal. How many know that the Word of God is not only is perfect, but one of the ways that the Word of God is perfect is in the order that it is perfect. See, Jesus can say anything he wants. He could have, but there's revelation even in the order. Notice what comes first. He comes first to steal. Because can I tell you what? If he can steal who you are, then he can destroy you, he can kill you, and he can destroy you. The main thing that Satan wants to take away is who you are. It's who you are. I remember going to TBN and listening to Mr. T. And we went, and Mr. T was there, and he had his sermon. It was 8 or 9 pages. It was all written out. And he just started from the beginning, but he said it with force. He said it with conviction. It was awesome, and it was powerful. He just read it, but he read it with this passion and authority, and it was powerful. But it was all very calculated in that because he was reading every. He wrote it all out, and after he got done, it was just like amazing. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness. I need to write out my sermons. I don't want to do that. Man, that was awesome. And then when he got done, there was another pastor came out. And this pastor was way more relational. You know what I mean? He was just more kickback, easygoing. And I thought, man, look at how he's connecting with the audience. I need to be like that. You know what I mean? I am going to get a stool up here pretty soon. But I thought, you know, I'm going to get a stool. I'm going to get a table. You know, I'm going to set. I don't drink coffee, but I'm going to set my tea on the table, and I'm going to sit there, and we're just going to talk about the Word. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like that. And then when he was done, Jonathan Kahn spoke. Oh my goodness. Jonathan Kahn talked about the reality of God. And he didn't have any notes. He didn't have any coffee. But he had this crazy boldness of conviction to call out injustice. And it was so, I'm telling you what, I mean, if you were there, he just raised the whole roof. It was so powerful. And I went from, man, I got to be like him, to man, I got to be like him. And then anyone comes like, no, I got to be like him. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, Drew, you don't need to be like Mr. T. You know what? You know, if you do a Mohawk, we're in trouble, boy. No. Here's what you need to be. You need to be like you. Because here's the thing. I've only made one of you. And if you're trying to act like these men, first of all, I don't need another one of these men. I already got these guys. They're doing it the way they should do it. And if you don't do it the way you should do it, then where's Drew? Because let me tell you what, I only made one of Drew, and I like his style. Amen? See, God has the confidence to say, please understand this. And why do we do that? Here's why. Because of this person thinking we're too like this, and that person thinking we're too like that, and this person thinking we need to be more like that. Here. Silencio, por favor. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, the truth is, you are awesome. You are awesome. God made you awesome. He loves how he made you. He likes you. God likes me. I like me. My wife likes me. Amen? So who cares about what the guy in junior high thought about me? Or the teacher in high school? I've told you this story before, but it's a great story. Because I got, you know what, I went to Life Bible College. And when I went to Life Bible College, the first thing they did is they gave me this placement test, English placement test. Out of all the freshman class. Out of all the freshman class, I was one of only eight to not pass the freshman placement test. What did that mean? Here's what that meant. That meant before I could take English 101 or Composition 101, which you're taking that to be able to write papers, instead of doing that, I got to take, you know what, Remedial English. Well, Remedial English, you could call it by any other name. Everybody knows what that is. Right? That's the English class for the people who don't know English very well. And that's what class I got to take. And I'm taking this class. And you know how much credit you get for this class? You get no credit for this class. Why? Because it's not a college class. It's like a high school class. So I'm taking this class, and Dr. Bess, everybody say Dr. Bess. Let me tell you about Dr. Bess. Dr. Bess, the Bible says that our steps are ordered of the Lord. Dr. Bess only taught one semester at Life Bible College. And guess what one semester she taught? The one semester where I was a freshman and I was in her class. And Dr. Bess was able to look at us and see, not through the eyes of others, not through the eyes of some English test, but she was able to look at
us and look at me through the eyes of God. And she taught me this. She said, Drew, it's all like a circle. And the better you read, the better you'll be able to spell. And the better be able to spell, the better. See how I needed her? The better that you'll be able to write, and the better you'll be able to write, the better you'll be able to speak. And the better you'll be able to speak, the better you'll be able to read. And the better you're able to read, the better you'll be able to spell. And it wasn't a negative class. It was just an opportunity to allow the goodness of God to come out. But Dr. Best did for me something that I will never forget. When I get to heaven, she will be one of the first people that I connect with. And I will thank her. Because at a time that I'd flunked second grade. I won't even go into the, Mr. Brooks or Mrs. Brooks story. I still remember her name. But some things, they just seem to follow you. And the Bible says that a man perceives in his heart, so he is. Here, I've got ones. Here, go to my third point. Here's my third point. You ready for my third point? This is deep. Okay, guys, ready for my third point? You're awesome. So, Pastor, you know what? can't you think of points 2 and 3? Whatever. Amen. Here's all I'm saying. I've got a simple message today, and here's what it is. You're awesome. And what I want you to do is I want you to start to supernaturally, you know what? You say, how do I do that? Start asking God. God, help me. And I believe that God will do the same thing, that God will bring the Dr. Besses in your life. I believe that God has brought me in your life today to speak a word over you and tell you, let me tell you, you are awesome. When God made you, I don't care what people have said about you. When God made you, he stepped back and he said, wow, incredible. Can I tell you what? How many sometimes can recognize a father can see things that the son can't see? My daddy's, you know what, with the Lord now. But my dad was an awesome, awesome, awesome man of God. One of the things I loved about my dad is my dad saw me, you know what, it's just an incredible, 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 incredible person. It was funny because if you hung around my dad, and I told this at his memorial service, but if you hung around my dad, listen, this is the truth. If my dad was here today and you came in and you were introduced to my dad and we talked for 10 minutes or less, you would find out that I was the butterfly champion. No. I wasn't the butterfly champion of Pioneer High School. I was just the butterfly champion. Because that's how he saw me. You know what? You know, Mark Spitz. You know, who's the other guy? Michael Phelps. You know, my dad. This is the butterfly champion. Now, how many know my dad, to some extent, was, you know, delusional? I don't mean to say that with disrespect. I mean, just, come on, Dad. Really? Can I tell you what? Our Heavenly Father is not delusional. See, can I go back to my first point? Let God be true and every man a liar. See, let them be a liar. Because God says, let me tell you, you are marvelously made. I made you, and I stepped back and I said, oh my goodness, I've outdone myself. Because there's only one like you. You're so unique. You are so incredible. And today is the day that we need to stop allowing, you know what, people who, I mean, God bless their stupid, ignorant hearts. They don't know. They don't know who you are. You know, don't allow a test to tell you who you are. Don't allow a teacher to tell you who you are. Don't allow your parent, even your parents, to tell you who you are. You let God tell you who you are. And when God tells you how awesome you are, you know what? You start need to get a smile on your face and to start to say, let me tell you what, that is true. That is true. There's no one like me. There's no one like me. Are you hearing from God today? Can you allow God to just soak in us? There's no one like, there's no one, you know what? There's no one. It even gets close to who Peter is. You kidding? And I could go to every single one of you. Let's start allowing God to tell us who we are. Let's let God be true. Let's start walking a different way. Let's stop putting our head down and our shoulders back and, you know what I mean, our shoulders down and, you know what I mean, you know what? I started off, and I'll close with this. I started off when I started to write this. I said, it's not too late. You're not too old. You're not too fat. You're not too dumb. You're not too anything. God has made you just how he wants to make you. So start to act like the genuine article that you really are. Start to walk in a confidence that, listen, can come by the power of the Holy Spirit as he starts to identify there is no one like you. Amen? Amen. Sweetie.
Thank you. I was just sitting there thinking about, there was some things I shared in the morning service, but I was just sitting there as I was listening to Pastor Drew teach, and I thought, there is just so many other things that just came flooding to me, that things that try, whether we mean to or not, there's moments in our life that try and define our identity. The way that people interact with us, the way that they don't interact with us, all kinds of things. But one of the things that I think has been one of the most valuable things early on in my Christianity is that God, I remember Pastor Drew, I had taken a transfer, and I was working at the same store that he was working at. You guys, some of you know this story. He was always trying to talk to me and like me. I didn't like him so much. I was not interested in him. I figured he was interested in me because he was always trying to talk to me. I was, you know what, I found him annoying. I had been at that store you know why I found him annoying? This is sad, but it's true. One of the reasons why I found him so annoying, he was always so happy. And I thought that was fake. I thought, nobody is that happy. What's this guy's deal? Why is he putting on this show all the time? It was irritating to me. I did not know Jesus. It just was like, what's this guy's deal? So I had been at this store for 2 weeks. Well, one of the things, besides taking a transfer, is I was driving down this street one day. All of a sudden, I got this strong urge that I wanted to go to church. I had never been to church. I literally looked in my car to the left and the right, like, where the heck did that come from? Because I had never gone to church before, so where did that come from? Didn't know, but started asking my girlfriends, hey, do you know of any good churches? Do you know of a good church? And I had 3 churches that my friends had told me about. And so I was going to visit each one of them. And when I got done visiting them, then I was going to pick the one I liked and then go to that church. Did I say I didn't know Jesus? I had no idea. I was just blank. And so I had gone to church, the first church, and Drew and I were starting our shifts at the same time that day at work coming in. It was on a Sunday afternoon. We had like a 4 o'clock shift. He was standing there trying to talk to me, and I was waiting for my cashier to count out, and he was waiting for his cashier to count out, and he was just talking. And he asked me this. He said, "So, Tamara, what'd you do today?" And I said, "I went to church." And then everything changed. His demeanor changed. He goes, "Oh, where do you fellowship?" And I'm looking at him. I don't know what he just said to me. I don't know how to answer him. I'm 20, 21 years old, whatever I was, and I have no idea what this guy just said to me. So then I got a little irritated. I thought, why is this guy always trying to talk to me? You know what I mean? Because now I don't know what to say or do. I'm in this stupid moment. And so I said, today's the first day I ever went to church. And he goes, "Oh, well, what church did you go to? And oh, why did you pick that church?" And it started this whole conversation. So even in that, you know what? I was, do you know how intimidating that is? So now God is drawing me. I begin to go to church. How do you think I feel walking in the door of all of these churches? Totally stupid. You know what I mean? I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know anything. And so it's very, very intimidating. That began to even form as God began to call me just the ways that I perceive myself. Because I knew that I knew nothing. Pastor Drew and I became friends, and he had bought a ticket to take me to go see the Glory of Easter early on. And I remember we were standing outside waiting because they had show after show after show. We were waiting for this show to get out and our show to go in. And I remember standing there talking with him, and I said, "Oh, I hate Easter. It's so stupid." See, y'all have that same look. That's what he did. He was just like, you could tell it was just like the air got sucked out of him. And he's like, and I knew I had said something wrong. But I couldn't imagine what it was. And I said, "What?" And he said, "Tamara, Easter is the best holiday of all. And I said, "It is? I'm confused. It is?" And he said, "Tamara, Easter is when Jesus Christ was resurrected." And at that, I said, "It is?" I'm not two, you guys. I'm like 20, 21. And he saw it on my face. All of a sudden, it's like, I'm an idiot. You know what I mean? I'm just completely stupid. As I feel just that big in that moment. And he saw it, and he said, "You know, Tamara," he says, "I know you don't think so right now." He said, "But believe me, the fact that you know nothing is a good thing. Because there's so much junk taught out there that is not the Word of God. And you now have an opportunity to just learn God's Word in the truth that it is without all this religion being shoved down you." It didn't feel good that day. And I really didn't. He's right. I know you don't think so now. I didn't. I thought, I can't even imagine that this is going to be a blessing. But it was. It was. I was able to come to God and learn about God just, wow, like a child. Like a child, just, you know what, in a good place where someone was teaching the uncompromised Word of God. And I was able to, I didn't know it at the time, but that, how do we come to God? Like a child. See, it was awesome that I didn't have all kinds of stuff to overcome. I had some stuff to overcome. Concerning, like my parents told me, "We believe in God, we just don't believe you have to go to church." That's not the Word. I wouldn't have known that, though, as a child. "We believe in God, but church people are weird." That's not the truth either. I had some stuff. I had some baggage. But nothing that was going to come against what the Word of God, what I was about to start to learn. And we have all, see, that all affected me. And there's all kinds, it's not just me, you have all these same things. I was in junior high school, and my music teacher, although, I don't know, I can't sing, and so who knows, something good might have happened had she seen something, I don't know. But I was in music class, and you know what she told me? Oh, that lady did not like me at all. I'm like in seventh grade. She's supposed to be an adult. And she said, you know, she told me one day, she was all, and she said, you know what, all you're good for is combing your hair and chewing bubble gum. I said, oh, okay. I'm a seventh grader. Think about this. And then I got into high school, and I think I had a biology class, and I had done this paper. My parents owned a grocery store. I had to work at the grocery store all the time. I did my biology paper on sulfates. So why? Because there's a huge soap aisle at the grocery store, and I'm there all the time, so I was getting all the sulfate content off of all this soap. And that's what I did my paper on. I turned my paper in. When I got up, I was so proud of that paper. I know I did a good job. It was awesome. It was highly thorough. I had all this soap. It's a big soap aisle. Paper came back. I was an honor roll student. Paper came back. I've got an F. That's what I said. What? My dad's going to freak out. What? I went to that teacher, and I said, excuse me, I don't understand. And he said, you didn't write that paper. I said, no, I did. He said, no, you didn't. I said, why do you think I didn't do my paper? And he made some comment, just, you think that you're all that just because your parents own a grocery store. You know, I'm thinking, how do you even know my parents own a grocery store? I don't know you. How do you know me so well? But I just took the paper home to my dad, and I had to present that F, and he was like, what? I said, he told me he doesn't believe that I wrote it. He said, I think I'm all that just because my parents own a grocery store. My dad was like, what? That's exactly what he did. He went right up to that school, right? That's right. With his grocery store keys in pocket. No, just kidding. So he went right up there and had a chat with that gentleman. I wasn't there, so I don't know how it went. All I know is my paper actually got graded, you know what, for the content and not for whatever this. But all of these things, people are perceiving me, and see, I can't not feel that. Do you understand that? All of that's in me. I was at the grocery store. This guy used to live down the street, and I thought he was so cute. It's like, I like that guy, and he's like, hi, you know, and so I was like, oh, he's so cute, and I was telling my sister, oh, that guy, the guy with the curly hair, Robert, oh, he's so cute. She's like, no, I like him. I said, I saw him first. And she's like, it don't matter. I think I saw him first. And so whatever, you know, we're kids, right? So then the next thing you know, guess who Robert likes? My sister. So I just said, whatever, it don't matter. You know what, you can have him. It don't matter. Like I had a choice, right? He don't like me. He likes her. But then you're like, why doesn't he like me? What does my sister have that I don't have? How come he chose her and not me? These moments are all over in our life. From our tough skins, to our music teachers, you know what, to that first person that catches our eye. They're all over the place. And so now fast forward. And I've married Pastor Drew, and we're at our church, and the pastor's wife asks me if I could teach a class about how politics are affecting our Christianity and all these laws that they were trying to pass and everything at the time. I can't teach. I don't teach. I don't speak. I don't know a whole bunch like the Bible. I didn't grow up in church. See, I got all my stuff. And I remember laying on the bed just kind of freaking out, thinking, I can't do this. What am I going to tell her? What am I going to say? How am I going to, you know what, how am I going to say no? And I'm freaking out with God, and I'm just like, hey, I can't do this, and all. And I'll never forget, he said to me, he said, Tamara, you need to begin to see yourself through my eyes. You need to see you the way I see you. It was the first, he was like, ooh, that's kind of deep, God. But that and many other things began to change. That instead of, one of the greatest things that has ever happened to me is that I've begun to get my identity of who I am from him, from the word of God. And that has, I wish I could say that was just like a quick, it just happened that day on the bed. No, because then later on, he had to do it again. You know, and he just spoke to me as I had gone through the challenge of learning how to make those flower arrangements. That I told Pastor Drew, I am not creative like that. I can't do that. That's not, I'm not like that. You don't just have that talent, Drew. You know, you just can't just do that. He's like, whatever, there's $100, do whatever you want to do. Well, I could not buy 3 flower arrangements with it, that's for sure. So then I poked at that. Some of you know the story. Years later, I'm on my hands and knees doing the trellis. Some lady walks by. She says, oh, my goodness, I wish I had that talent. I wish I was like you. That is so awesome what you can do. And I'm on my hands and knees. See, she doesn't know what I know. She doesn't know about those flowers. She doesn't know that I told Pastor Drew that I'm not creative. She doesn't know about all that stuff. And I'm sitting there, and the Holy Spirit says, see, don't ever tell me who you are, Tamara, because you don't know who you are. I know who you are. There's so much in you that I have put there that you don't even know. And you know what I've learned? If I don't cooperate with God and let him lead me and direct me, boy, he's led me into some stuff. You know what I mean? That I would have never done. I'm not confident enough. I don't know enough. I'm not educated enough. But that stuff doesn't faze him. You know why? Because he says, I am. So go over there and do this and say that, Tamara. It's like, wow. So I do all kinds of things that I would never do. Why? Because he's telling me who I am. Because I learned that lesson. And it's an ongoing lesson. Can I say that? I mean, where I'm at today, trust me, wait until he takes me, you know, wherever I'm going tomorrow, if I'll let him. But will I cooperate with him? Or am I going to say, oh, no, I can't. Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, no, I'm. No. Let him tell us who we are. And that will only happen. That's not going to happen because you came here today and you heard this and you said, amen, that was good. Yeah, that's true. I see that in the word. That's good. Yeah, let God. That's not how it's going to happen. It's going to happen because you're going to have to push back on all the junk that's in there from wherever, from whoever that says that you're not. And we're going to have to, you know what, begin to be incredibly dependent on the Holy Spirit. And say, you know what, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want to say to me today? What do you want to show me today? One time the Lord said, Tamara, if we could just spend more time together, the things that I have planned. It's like, wow. But we get all busy, don't we? But we need to not get busy, and we need to not. The one thing that we have, the only thing that we need, is the Holy Spirit. And with him, that's why all things are possible. Because he'll comfort us, and he'll lead us, and he'll teach us, and he'll guide us, and he'll show us things to come, right? Amen. I hope that you will begin to grab that reality. You know what? The children of Israel, how you remember how they had the cloud by day and the pillar by night? What if we had something that tangible? See, that's kind of the problem for us. It's not that tangible. He's in us. He's that still, small voice. We've got to simmer down and settle down to hear him. We got to be very purposeful to tap in to him. And we have to remember that he's there. But he's there. And I hope that that's what you take with you today. He's there. And whatever's going on, I promise you, he is the answer. And he will, you know what, take you to a good place if you'll allow him to get you there. Amen. 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 Amen.